showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station. Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
103.9 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
And once again, welcome back. 1 hour in the books, one to go. Now, this segment of our Midday Live program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Patrolman's Benevolent Association. That PBA serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe, from the anti-drinking and driving campaigns to protecting our children with education on the Megan's Law. PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride in its strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes and contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. You're invited to visit their website at www.suffolkcountypba.org. Noel DiGirolamo, a president. Now, we're going to leave the phones open, 631-451-1039. A couple of topics I want to take up. Obviously, we spent some time yesterday talking about the DACA program, and that has dominated the news. And it is a local issue, too, because we have a good number. They estimate about 14,000 here on Long Island that were children of undocumented illegal immigrants that came to this country who know no other life other than living in America. They've gone to school here. They've graduated. And in, I believe it was March of 2012, then President Obama essentially came out with a deferred action program where they would be allowed to make application, which most of them did, from what our understanding is, to continue working here and going to school here. And that was part of the DACA program. And then yesterday, it was rescinded by the Trump administration. But there may be a method to the madness here, and I use madness very loosely, of what the president and the attorney general are trying to accomplish. And what they're trying to accomplish is maybe a focus on immigration and the number of the 11 million people that are here that are not documented, that are still here. We spoke about one last week that was pulled over by a Nassau County police officer using somebody else's Social Security card and using somebody else's legal identification number issued to people that come in, to aliens. So it's immediately the left is blasting the program, saying that, and including former President Obama, that these people are not responsible. The so-called dreamers are not responsible for being here and therefore should be looked at differently. And I had mentioned yesterday that those individuals who came here through no choice of their own, who were raised here, who went through the schools here, many who work here, some have college educations, all done legally since 2012. That they're not the ones that should be slated for deportation. But here's the thing. There's a good possibility that they're not slated for deportation, that they're not that it's being used to this whole thing yesterday is being used for the most part to essentially come out with a system that can work, and that this is a way this could be. Now, you know, some people say, well, the president doesn't act that way. But in essence, that's what's happening. Lindsey Graham this morning, the Republican leader in the U.S. Senate, said that now we're going to deal with this program. So just maybe that there is no real need to go out tomorrow and get 788,000 people under the DACA program to immediately go out and round them up and deport them, that there is no plan to do that and there's no interest, considering that if you look at the different subsets of the different immigration categories, with number one being criminals, which we all want out of here, or number five being the dreamers, so to speak, then we can look at the dreamers as being the less likely, or the least likely, or the least interest in kicking out of this country. And there's a good possibility that this whole thing with DACA that we're talking about was just a way in which to get the public attention. Now, is this too pro-Trump, this statement? Are we giving him too much credit that this is a great way in which to get Congress, which you've heard on this program many times, just is not getting it? They don't do it. They don't do immigration. They don't do health care. They're like, you know, the proverbial dog chasing his tail. And that's essentially what's happening here. So could this be a movement by the president, by the White House, by the attorney general to finally deal with this particular program. Our number here is 631-451-1039. And what we're doing is, you know, just trying to bring it out there. I mean, it came to light yesterday when I saw all of the members of Congress getting on board. And Lindsey Graham, I think, said that for the most part, we're going to deal with this during the month of September. Lindsey Graham said that, and the senator from, I believe it was North Dakota. All right, it'll come back to me. But there was another senator, Democratic senator, who said that now we're going to have bipartisan effort to get something done like this. So I'm just wondering what people are thinking. Could this been a ploy by the president not to kick out law-abiding people that are working jobs and paying Social Security and paying taxes through no fault of their own are here, which was the whole idea of why DACA was passed to begin with. The deferred action for childhood arrivals, because that's what they were, childhood arrivals. And there were stipulations before 16 years old, not 31 years old. So, you know, all of that was put into it. Good, fair program affecting 788,000 Americans, rescinded yesterday. Is there any effort to deport them? The answer to that is no. Will this thing expire in 6 months? Yes. Could there be, in theory, an effort to deport them? In theory, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of interest in doing that. So I'm just wondering, could this have been a method by the president to get Congress to come up with a comprehensive program to deal with 11 million people that don't have the proper identification? And that's my concern. And there's a good possibility that's it. And that just maybe we can see an end to this problem, because it is a problem. It's a problem for the social agencies. It's a problem with the fact that many of these people are not paying the proper amount of taxes. Many of these people are fraudulently representing themselves. So this is, you know, one way that we can, you know, consider 631-451-1039. Let's take a phone call. We have Rich Chris on the line. Hello?
Hello. It's Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. You're right.
Hi.
Sorry about that. You're on the air, Chris.
Yeah. To be honest with you, what I think the president was trying to do was not necessarily, like you said, bring attention to the subject, which is a byproduct of what I believe that the president was trying to do. I think that what the president's trying to do is make Congress actually take action on the subject and put it back where it was supposed to be.
Exactly.
He's not eliminating the project, the DACA. He's not eliminating the program. He's making Congress make it law.
You know, it hit me over the head yesterday. I don't know when it hit you, but it hit me yesterday, because maybe that's his objective. Which, you know, that's fine.
I am in agreement with you.
Yes.
That I believe that this is not to end a program, to end these people, to kick them out. It's to force Congress, which is, and please don't, people that are listening, don't hold this against me.
Okay.
But President Obama signed an illegal order. He bypassed Congress because Congress was inactive. And so for 8 years, Congress sat on their hands with a program so that they didn't have to act. President is saying, and the current president is saying, God, I want to curse. Get off your dead.
Right.
And
don't curse, please.
It's a problem.
Right. And you're right. I mean, Chris, what you're saying is making sense. And because if you really think about it, nobody wants to kick these people out. I mean, really.
And if you think about what the president's doing, and I mean, by all rights, the last president signed an executive order that was immediate.
Yes.
When he signed that, that was the new program that went into effect. And the current president didn't take a pen and write something that says it's over today. What he did was he signed something that said, listen, I realize Congress tells me all the time, I'm sorry, but they can't get anything done. Well, now he put a timeline on it.
Yes, yeah.
You know, now he put a timeline. Get off your dead bus and fix this problem.
Mm, yeah. When you think
anyway, you guys have a great day.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Sure.
Your comments.
Bye.
So, in any event, what we're talking about here, obviously, is the the way in which this was handled and the way in which this was rolled out. And, you know, when we think about it, it's just there's a possibility. I don't know. No one wants to, you know, look at this situation. No one wants to say that all these people are going to be kicked out, including the 14,000 Long Islanders. That's not happening. I think we could say that with 100% assuredness that that's not happening. In any event, our number here is 631-451-1039 when we, you know, consider all of the way in which this is being brought forth. You know, when we also look to the point that executive orders should not be used for this. Sometimes if you have a Congress that doesn't want to act, and if you have a Congress that's, for the most part, as we know, they when you look at health care, they didn't take any action on health care. Are they taking action in any other way? And for the most part, they're not. So an executive order has to take place. If it has to get done, it has to be done through the presidency. So for that, I'll say that the Obama order in 2012 may have been put out of frustration, is that there is a loophole here that has to be addressed. And now what this president is doing is possibly forcing Congress to get this thing done. So interesting when we look at it. 631-451-1039. We have Allison over there in Miller Place. Allison, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tom? It's Nelson.
Oh, Nelson.
Yeah, I'm not a transgender, don't worry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right. Basically, anybody here on the DACA program is here illegally if it's an illegal order. I think Trump has shown great compassion in extending this for 6 months.
Right. Okay.
He's not saying it's not an immediate removal. So now it's incumbent upon the Congress to come up with an immigration law that can
yes.
keep these people here.
Well, do you
so
think
now,
that this was a grand design by the president to do this as opposed to saying, I'm Donald Trump and I'm bad and I'm going to kick out these people?
I think it was a way to show compassion.
Yeah. Okay.
And the thing that's upsetting me is these people protesting now. You're protesting at the wrong person. You got to go to your congressman.
I agree
listen,
with that, yeah.
We got to get a law passed. You guys have been sitting on your hands for this long. Yeah, and these people are still here illegally.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, because it's an illegal action now.
But
you know,
do you agree, though, it's through no fault of their own? You know, when you commit a crime, there has to be a mental state that you're aware that you're committing a crime. Whereas these kids may have come over at 2-3 years old. And this is the only country they know.
It's, you know, you're walking a fine line, but you're still here illegally. If you come over as a 2-year-old, somebody dumps you off in the United States in the air illegally. Remember Avion Gonzalez?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, and he went back. He had to go back to Cuba. Yeah.
He didn't have the mental state to commit a crime.
That's true. That's true. Good point. Good point, Nelson. You always have a good point.
All right.
You know, but with this issue, I'm hoping now Congress has a comprehensive program now.
The one thing I want to say is, I'm just sick of these congressmen. They get all these benefits, they get all these perks and all this money, and they just sit on their hands and they look at someone else to make them. Somebody's got to stand up and say, listen, they might cost me votes, but I got to do what's right by the American people.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we got to get this done. These people just, isn't it worse for these people to just be sitting in limbo? Yeah. You know, not worrying about what the next executive order is.
Maybe we'll have that. Maybe we'll have a comprehensive immigration program to deal with the 11 million people that are not documented.
Yeah,
maybe, just
right
maybe.
These people are trying to be here legally and do the right thing.
Maybe.
So let's do the right thing
exactly.
by them.
Exactly. I agree. Maybe this is the way. This is the jumping off point. This could be the start of something good. Nelson, thank you for your phone call.
All right,
appreciate it. 631-451-1039. We got John over there in Mastic Beach. John, what do you say?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure.
I just want to bring attention to two issues.
Sure.
First is a number of your callers have mentioned that they thought President Obama's order was illegal. And actually what President Obama is doing with DACA is redirecting law enforcement resources away from enforcing against youth who were brought here under no volition of their own when they were children and toward undocumented or illegal immigrants who are criminals,
okay.
who are threatening our community.
Yes.
And I think that's an important distinction.
Okay.
But second, with respect, I just want to say I really hope that the outcome of this is bipartisan immigration reform. That would be great.
Yes.
I think everyone can agree that.
Oh, that's, again, why I put this out there. I think this is an opportunity now. We have an opportunity.
And the only issue that I have with it is, you know, I'm and it's really a frustration with Congress. Is this what it took to get Congress to act on comprehensive immigration reform, threatening to end a program that you safeguards 14,000 of our neighbors on Long Island, but also millions across the country?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather that he use the pulpit to get Congress to act rather than, you know, threaten to end a program that, that secures a lot of our neighbors and working people here.
All good points, but maybe this was a strong effort to get it to happen, because it seems like what's happened in the past, they haven't been able to do it. Maybe this is a way that they can wake up and smell the coffee. Like, wow, we got a president that's going to kick out 800,000 people. We know he's not, okay, but maybe this is just one way in which to do it.
So. Well, that's something we can both agree that definitely, I hope that's the outcome.
I hope so too. John, great phone call. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you. 631-451-1039. We've got Eric in Corum.
Yes.
Hi, Eric. How are you? You're on the air.
Good. How are you, sir?
All right, good. What's your thoughts?
I heard you, one of your previous calls just recently mentioned that the immigration ban, not immigration, yeah,
yeah, the DACA, yeah, the kids. Yeah,
yeah,
the,
yeah, right. That Donald Trump kind of forced Congress's hand by throwing it in their lap.
Okay.
And I understand that because, like he said, Barack Obama signed a legal order, but it wasn't necessarily to you know, defy Congress. It was to make them do something.
Exactly.
As you know, just like with the health care issue, how many years now have we been going through this? And they won't do anything, so he basically forced them to do something. Now they have no choice.
Yes.
They have to work.
Hey, exactly. And they're committing to do it within the month of September, which I've never heard Congress set a goal for themselves. Never.
Right. Well, they, you know what it is. They know the fixes. They can do it. They just refuse for whatever alternative.
And they have for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many years has this been going on where, you know, you know people are going to the hospital and you and I are footing the bill?
Exactly. Exactly.
So a lot of people don't like Barack Obama. What he did was he forced Congress to do something.
Yes.
And basically, if you don't like it, then leave it as is. And but they know they have to fix it.
Right. And, you know, going back to, I think you probably meant to say not Obama, you meant to say Trump, I think, by forcing.
Well, Trump just did the same thing Barack Obama did.
Right.
He threw something at Congress that they have to deal with.
Yeah. And it is really the responsibility of the Congress to come out with law. The president merely executes. That's why they call him the executive.
Exactly. And they will say that over and over again, that, you know, that it's their job to write law and so on and so forth. But if they're not doing it, then you need somebody to force their hand.
Right. Look at their record on health care. Where is their record on health care? They have to deal with that. Eric.
In addition to that, the Social Security problem. You know, threatening me that my money's not going to be there. Well, do something about it.
Exactly. You know, they have to redirect the funds. They have to do whatever. They have to reinvest it in a proper manner. And right now, those on Social Security are only there because people are working, paying into that system.
Still.
So it's not accumulating.
We can the benefits.
I know. Well, let's hope it's there for everybody. Every American works hard. That's the most important thing, to get the fruits of your labor, and that's so important. Eric, thanks for your phone call. Really appreciate it.
Okay,
interesting how the folks have an opinion on this, and that now we're going to wait. The clock is ticking. The hourglass is going off that within the next 30 days or so, Congress has a promise, or the Senate. I think I just want to qualify that. The United States Senate has said that they will have an immigration plan on how to deal with the DACA, the deferred action for childhood arrivals, those children who arrived here illegally through no fault of their own, who've gone through the school system, who've learned English, who don't know, in many cases, the country of their origin, and have pretty much been productive citizens of the United States, and they call them dreamers because of the American dream concept. You know, many of them have advanced degrees as old as in the mid to late 20s, as old as 31 years old, who have been here, who now under this order, theoretically, and I say this very, very loosely, theoretically could be subject to deportation, but I'll say this realistically, are not going to be deported. We all know that. They're not going to be singled out. And they represent the subset of immigrants here that are now in a gray status area. And by the way, those individuals that have applied and under DACA and who have a 2-year visa, work visa or student visa, are not in any jeopardy right now. And essentially, that's what we're what we are considering. Now, we're going to take a short break. I'm your host, Tom Shalero. We're going to open up the phones again, get some good comments from everybody. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.